Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings, which call us to be grateful for the gift of salvation, the gift of your divine intervention in our lives and in our world. And so help us always to count our blessings and to call others to a lifestyle of gratitude. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So one of my favorite psalms, I have many favorite psalms, is Psalm 138. It's called the Hymn of a Grateful Heart. And most likely it was written by King David, who, you know, had his own failures in life and, you know, had the horrible falling out where he had an adulterous relation with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed and put to the front line of the battle so that he could kind of cover things up because she got pregnant after that affair. And yet God used him to reveal the nature of his mercy. So this is called a Hymn of a Grateful Heart. So if you want a little extra homework this weekend for this homily, go home and read Psalm 138. And see if it resonates with you and me. That are we grateful that salvation is God's free gift? Let's no one boast about it. Ephesians 2. It's not through our works, but through God's gratuitous grace that we've been saved and called to live a whole new way of life. And I think the more that we enter into that reality, the more grateful we are and the more we thank God for all the blessings we've received in our life. The basic core of a Christian's life is gratitude for God's divine intervention. That in the fullness of time, while we were sinners, God sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die, to free us from the grip of sin and death, and to bring us into a whole new way of life. And I know in my own life, when I really began to understand that message, which is the core of the gospel, that we can't save ourselves, that we were helpless and in sin, and in God so loved the world, he sent his Son, that the Mass became more and more important to me as a youngster, as a teenager. And I would start going to daily Mass as much as I could to give thanks to God because I realized I can't save myself and that I'm going to spend the rest of my life giving thanks to God for what Jesus did for us on Calvary. And the Mass is the living memorial of that reality. And so the more we realize that and understand it, then the more joyful our liturgical celebrations are going to be when we come together for Mass every Sunday, because we realize that I never could possibly earn what he has given to me. Psalm 116, how can I make a return for all the good that God has given to me? You can't, but you can come every Sunday and say, thank you, Lord, for loving me and saving me. Be with me now in my own struggles and challenges in everyday life. Send me the Holy Spirit to strengthen me so that I may always live a lifestyle of gratitude. And that's the core of who we are as a people. And the whole thing of Naaman wanting to thank God because, you know, he was cleansed from leprosy, and leprosy was a horrible disease. And, you know, in 2018, I went to the leper colony in Molokai, took this horrible journey with this mule all the way down this treacherous, muddy terrain with no railing on the side, so if it slipped, it would just fall off the cliff 1,000 feet to my death. And once we got down there, it was just amazing to think about the reality of what happened there. These people had this horrible disease, Hansen's disease or leprosy, and they were isolated from their families, and no one wanted to be around them. And then St. Damien de Vestra, or Damien of Molokai, came and said, I want to be Christ to them. I want to show them that even though they have this awful thing going on in their bodies, that God loves them very much and wants to express that. So he built a little church there and celebrated Mass with them. And then he himself got the disease to share in their plight, as Jesus loved us to share in our plight and humanity and so forth. And it was just an amazing experience. I finally got up my fear on the way up. I wasn't laughing hysterically like I did on the way down out of fear that I was going to fall to my death. But I just thought about that as far as how grateful they must have been that he came to them. And he said, you know, I found my paradise. Don't take me away from here, because this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be Christ to them. Wow. Isn't that beautiful that we can express God's love to other people by being grateful for what we've received and sharing it with others? And through our words, we can bless other people and proclaim the greatness of the Lord. And I'm thinking about the Magnificat, Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 56, where Mary was chosen for the special task to be the mother of the Redeemer. And the first thing out of her mouth was, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. That when the Holy Spirit touches us, it's just this automatic response of joy and wanting to give credit where credit is due. Not to us give the glory, but to God. And the enemy is always there to try to persuade us to just, God told you that. You can be your own God. That was the lie in the Garden of Eden. God told you that he knows if you eat the tree of that, if you eat the fruit of that tree, you will become like God. And so he lies to us constantly and doesn't want us to be grateful. And we see in our world today a huge struggle, a huge spiritual warfare going on right now as far as giving thanks to God and credit to God for what he's done and intervening in our human history, and how Christianity is dwindling throughout the world, throughout our country, throughout our state, and how we need to preach the gospel and bring people to an awareness of that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. But that's kind of waning in a lot of ways. And people just think they can be self-sufficient. I don't need God's help and intervention in my life. Really? Good luck with that. Amen. Life works so much better when we allow the grace of God to come into our hearts and help us with all our struggles and situations. And we all have them. You know, I was driving home at about 4:20 in the morning on Wednesday. I went home to spend some time with my father, and he had to have a support put in his chest to start chemotherapy. Well, of course, that's delayed because of all the backup because of COVID, so he can't start for a couple of weeks. But on the way home, I was thinking about how irritating it is when the doctors never call back. And so on Monday night, I called the doctor, and I basically, I don't think I was uncharitable, but I was pretty blunt. I'm like, you better call me back. This is my father you're dealing with, and don't mess around, because he's a great guy and he's been a great father for me. And he did call us back. He paged us and said, go to the emergency room. So we spent 5 hours in the emergency room. And on the way over the mountains at 4:20 in the morning to get back in time for the 9 o'clock mass on Wednesday, last Wednesday, the Lord just had this exercise for me about being grateful and just basically showed me that, you know, your medical system is broken. You know, people don't follow through and they don't call you back a lot. My dad actually had to go drive into downtown Richland to make an appointment because no one would pick up the phone to make an appointment. And it's just broken. And that's just the reality we face. But then the Lord reminded me of my trips to Malawi, Africa, where I remember one, we celebrated mass and then we went to this little village and this poor little girl was there, maybe 12 years old, dying of AIDS. There were no nurses there or doctors there. There was no IV giving her pain relief or medicine. She's just laying on this little mat they had made, and they had artificial flowers because they can't afford real flowers, so they don't have them. And the people were just surrounding the village, praying the rosary for her and for all the other sick people we anointed in the village that day. And I just started thinking of that and thinking, you know what? In spite of all the problems we have in this country with our medicine and other things, I need to be grateful that we even have that, right? So isn't it interesting how the Lord uses your experiences with other people to draw you outside of yourself, your own temptation to have a pity party and complain and whine about what's not working out, and just thinking about the rest of the world really doesn't have access to what we have here in this country. And that just made me realize that I just need to be grateful, but I also need to be aggressive and advocate for their health care, because you need to have someone do that because it's broken. And I'm not afraid to get on the phone and say, hey, call me back or else I'll come down and smack you. No, I wouldn't do that. But but you need to be aggressive and assertive to advocate for your health care. But at the same time, be aware of the global reality in the world. And that will draw you outside of that anger and bitterness and say, thank you, Lord. Even though it's broken, I'm grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen? Amen. And the more grateful we are, the more we're going to bless other people, especially in our words. People today are feeling the brokenness and all the things, the disruptions going on. And you saw, you know, our Archbishop just sent out a statement about nuclear arms and nuclear war, which, as I told you in the announcement, scares me because I grew up in Richland and that's where they built the plutonium for the bomb and everything. And we just need to be praying for peace. But the more we center ourselves on Jesus Christ and in our prayer life, the more we're going to call people to trust in him. And we use our words for blessing and not to tear people down or to scare them even more, but to say, God loves you, and yes, the world's messed up. That's why Jesus came to save us. But you can know peace in your mind, heart, and soul if you come to him and invite him into your heart and follow him. And it doesn't mean that you got everything figured out and you're not going to have your moments where you're like, what's going on, Lord? Why are you allowing this? We all have that. I've had it. And I'll still have it. But I know his love and goodness, and you know his love and goodness too. Amen. That's why you're here today, to give thanks to him for his love and goodness in your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Are we awake? Just kidding. I got to teach you a little bit. So let's pray in a special way for the Holy Spirit to help us use our words to edify and build people up, because people are scared and they're doubting the goodness of God, and we can be witnesses of the good news for them. And what a privilege that is. You know, a few weeks ago I was in the coffee hour after Mass, and I'd shared some things in the homily, very personal things, and a woman came up to me and she said, "Thank you for your words. You know, my son on Friday committed suicide. And I won't be in your parish anymore because I'm moving somewhere else." And then she just left and walked away. And I'm like, you just never know what people are carrying inside of them and the difficulties they're having. So our words are so important that we be very careful how we speak to people. And I don't always do it right. I have that sign in my office. You've heard, "Lord, put your arm over my shoulder and your hand over my mouth." Because I'm so often prudence in speech. I think I will struggle with that till the day I take my last breath. But I'm going to struggle with it and invite the Holy Spirit to continue to refine me and purify me, because I know what it's like when people use hurtful words for me and tear me down, and then when I do the same thing to the people. So we need to be really careful about that. I want to end today. You know, I'd hope to see that movie, Mother Teresa. It was only on October 3rd and 4th, and I was home, and then I wound up in the emergency room, and then the next day we went out for dinner, and I had to come home at 4 in the morning. But she was an amazing servant of God, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and has wonderful sayings for us all. And I found this little prayer that she loved from St. John Henry Newman. He was a convert to the Catholic faith of Anglicanism. And this is just about, "Lord, help me to spread your love and your fragrance to the people around me." So I found this. It's all weathered and so forth, but I want to share this with you. I'll try to read it very slowly. Okay. "Dear Lord, help me to spread your fragrance wherever I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may be only the radiance of yours. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only you, O Lord. Stay with me, then I shall begin to shine as you do, so to shine is to be a light to others. The light, O Lord, will be all from you, none of it will be mine. It will be you shining on others through me. Let me thus praise you in the way you love best, by shining on those around me. Let me preach you without preaching, not by words but by example, by the catching force, the sympathetic influence of what I do, the evident fullness of the love my heart bears to you. Amen."